Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you.
Today's special guest is Don Hinches. Hello, Don.
Hi.
So Don is the president of the Jefferson City Veterans Committee, and he's also a member of a group that coordinates Wreaths for Heroes. So for those who don't know, Wreaths for Heroes is going to happen this Saturday, and it's when a flock of volunteers descend upon the National Cemetery and decorate the graves of veterans who are buried there. So Don, tell us a little bit of the history behind this endeavor.
Lorraine and Pete Atkins came up with this idea. They were in Arlington National Cemetery when they did the Wreaths Across America one year. And Lorraine says, we can do this in Jeff City. We need to do this in Jeff City. So she brought the idea back. And the next year, we went to the Wreaths Across America ceremony at the National Cemetery. But all they placed is a wreath for each branch of service. They didn't place a wreath on all the graves. And Lorraine said, we can do better than this.
Yeah. You know,
so she started working on it at that point. And I was a non-believer at first. I thought, we can't raise enough money and buy enough wreaths and organize and get this done. But Lorraine grabbed the bull by the horns and it got done.
Yeah. So just to provide the context, roughly how many veterans' graves are there in the Jefferson City?
There are almost 1,700, 16 something.
Wow.
You know, that was 2010 was the first year we placed the wreaths. And, you know, we're thinking, my gosh, this is going to be a long ordeal getting this. So many people showed up. In probably 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We were done.
Yeah.
You know, there's usually 200 to 300 people, volunteers show up, 1,700. You know, if everybody does 5 or 6, we're done.
Right. Well, you know, you sharing that story, I remember when Lorraine came to the newsroom here at the News Tribune and had told us that she was planning on doing this. And much like you, I was like, that's incredibly ambitious there. But it really, I remember how heartfelt she was about that. She died in 2017, so that's why we're speaking in the past tense. But she was passionate about the significance of this event.
Yes, she was very passionate. And, you know, once it got going, I thought, you know, why didn't we think of this years ago?
Yeah.
You know, what a beautiful thing. You know, here we have a national cemetery right here in Jefferson City. And if you've never been out there to see those wreaths on all those graves, you need to make a point to go by there sometime between this Saturday and the first or second Saturday in January and see them. It's an awesome sight. It just kind of gives you chills to see that. And, you know, I've thought several times, you know, we should have been doing this for years and years, but thank God for people like Lorraine and that think of these things and have the ambition to carry them through.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the National Cemetery. So some folks may not know where it's at. And how does a veteran get into the National Cemetery?
This cemetery is full. If they want to be buried in a national cemetery, there's still space at Jefferson Barracks in St. Louis.
Okay.
That's the only national cemetery in Missouri that the one in Springfield is full. But where there are several state cemeteries that are run just like the national cemeteries where veterans can be buried in their Missouri state cemeteries, not national cemeteries.
Okay. So this cemetery has veterans from which wars?
It goes all the way back to Confederate War. I think there's even some Spanish American.
Wow. Going back to Wreaths for Heroes. So let's talk about this Saturday is when the wreaths will be actually gathered and then placed on the grave. So kind of walk us through how it actually happens. It's a military campaign almost.
It's a well-oiled machine at this point. The wreaths are stored in a warehouse on the Jefferson Plaza and in the kind of the northeast corner there. Larry Cole donates us the space. He has a two-car garage type thing there, and that's where the wreaths are stored. We will meet there at 7:30 or a little before on Saturday morning, but we'll start loading trucks at 7:30. Volunteers show up with their pickups, and we load wreaths on their truck, and then they proceed to Bush's Florist there on Dunklin. The street will be closed off there, and the trucks will all line up there, and then at about 40, 8:35, 8:40, the police will escort the trucks to the cemetery. Lorraine always called that a convoy. The trucks arrive at the cemetery. They pull into the cemetery, and we take the wreaths off of the pickups and just stack them along the driveway and then have the trucks pull out of the way. That will happen at about 8:45 when the trucks arrive. At 9 o'clock, the trucks should be unloaded and out of the way. We'll have a little short demonstration on how to reverently place the wreath. Then we will ask the volunteers to go ahead and start placing the wreaths. They'll be done with that somewhere between 9:15 and 9:25. Whenever it's over, then we have a little ceremony and have the honor guard there to do a memorial firing and taps. And we have a speaker. General Stratman's going to speak this year. And then we go to breakfast at Prison Brews and talk about our accomplishments.
All right. So now, how many volunteers? Do you know how many you're going to have?
We never know what every year. I'm amazed. There are so many people that they put it on their calendar. Mm-hmm. It's probably on their calendar for next year already. We always do this on the second Saturday in December. There will be people, a lot of the same people, but we always get new people. We get some educators. We'll bring some of their class and stuff like that. And it really makes you feel good.
Yeah. So if someone wants to volunteer, do they just show up?
If they want to haul wreaths with their truck, they can come to the warehouse. If they just want to come out to the cemetery, we ask people to try to be there by 8:30.
Okay.
That way it doesn't interfere with the trucks when they're coming in.
Okay.
And then we'll get them started, get them lined out, and get them started placing wreaths. If they've never done it, I encourage you to come out and just see this operation in action. The cemetery is very quiet, just to see the people reverently walking around and placing the wreaths. And I always encourage them when they place the wreath to stand back and, you know, say thank you or say that person's name or something. Just acknowledge that person.
Yeah.
I like to see the young people come out, you know, and I always tell the people, when you're replacing a wreath on a veteran's grave here, you're really honoring all the veterans buried all around the world. You know, Memorial Day, when they show the pictures of all the foreign cemeteries, you know, where all the soldiers that were killed in World War I and II are buried over there, it just gives you chills. And I try to tell the kids when we do this that you're honoring all the veterans when you do this, not just the ones that are buried here.
Yeah.
And I just helped them do it at the Russellville High School, did it at the Enloe Cemetery in Russellville on Monday. And it just makes me feel so good to see so many young people respecting our veterans, and ceremonies like that keep their memory alive.
Absolutely. Well, and you touch on a great point there. I mean, this has gone beyond just this national cemetery. It's become an example that has blessed other cemeteries as well as really brought in different audiences to help.
Right. We probably have, I'm going to say somewhere around 20 other communities and churches and stuff that have started this in their community. And a lot of that came from when we replaced our wreaths 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. We donated all those used wreaths to anybody that wanted them mm-hmm. for that. And I was just told last night that a couple other communities, like Wardsville is one that's going to start it up now. And I helped a couple little churches up west of California get started with it earlier this month. And we did Russellville. Mrs. Kreider had her class there. And these kids study this history in school, but when you get out there in the cemetery and you start seeing names you recognize and might have known, or at least know family members, it really brings it home.
Yeah. In our show notes, we're going to put a link to the story that Garrett Fuller did for us about the Enloe Cemetery. And when I was reading that story, what struck me was the students especially gravitated to the ones who the veterans were 20, you know, 18 and 20, not that much older than them when mm-hmm. they were killed in action. And it really brought it home to them.
Yeah, I happened to walk. I was kind of walking through the cemetery as they were placing them. And a classmate of mine who was in a year ahead of me in school was killed in 1967. Mm-hmm. And they were just at his grave placing it. And I asked the students, I said, did you note the date of death on there? And she said, oh, he was really young. And I said, yeah. I said, he was killed in action. And that really, you could tell it impacted them.
Yeah.
He was not much older than they were.
Right.
He was killed.
So. Right. We've talked a little bit about the passion that Lorraine had about this, that started this. What does this mean for you as a veteran? You've been doing this, as you say, since 2010.
Yeah.
What's your motivation there?
Well, I was in Vietnam in 1968, and I lost a very close friend, was killed on November 19th of 1968, and he died in my arms. After he was gone, I made him a promise that I would do everything I could to make sure he was never forgotten. And I came back from Vietnam and didn't get involved in veterans organizations, didn't really do anything to make sure, keep my promise to him. And after about 20 years or so, I thought one day, I said, you know, I need to get involved. in veterans organizations and helping other veterans, because if I don't, I'm not keeping my promise. And, you know, I think of Willie every day, but when I'm gone, who's going to remember him?
Yeah.
So I got involved in the VFW, got involved with the Veterans Council, got involved with a lot of veterans things in this community. I talked to a lot of the students in different schools about Willie, about the sacrifices that veterans make. So to me, you know, Willie's been my motivator in life. When I think I can't do something or don't want to do something, then I think of Willie, and I all of a sudden I got the energy and I want to do it. And that's why I encourage young people, especially, you know, when you're in life, you know, when you think you can't do something or don't want to do something, then think of all those hundreds of thousands that have died for our country, that are buried around the world. Think of them. They didn't have a chance to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, tell them then, I said, I think you'll find the energy to do it then.
Yeah.
You know, when I see these kind of things going on, and Jefferson City is so supportive of veterans and helpful to anybody, you know, organizations that help veterans, they support them. It's not that way everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times I'm afraid we're going to forget about those sacrifices that veterans have made. And when you forget about those sacrifices, then you're kind of done as a nation in my mind.
Yeah. So what was Willie's last name?
McFay.
McFay. Okay. Do you met him through service?
We met over there. You know, sometimes you meet people and you just instantly become friends.
Yep.
And that's the way we were. When he got off the helicopter that night, he came in as a replacement. We had lost several people, and he was coming to my squad. So I greeted him, and I don't know, we started talking, and we became instant friends. And he was only been over there about 3 months when he was killed, or less than that. But we had formed a pretty strong bond in that time. And I had been there about 6 months before he got there. So,
yeah.
But he was married. Had two little girls, and we had exchanged contact information. If we ever get out of here alive, we're going to have a beer, you know.
Right.
And but then when he was killed, I was wounded the same day. So I lost all my contact information. So I didn't have internet, didn't have no way of finding people back then. So
right.
I looked every time I would travel or was in a different town, I'd look for a McFay in the phone book. And if I found one, I would try to get a hold of him. And it took 48 years, but I finally found his wife.
Oh, wow.
And youngest daughter, his oldest daughter had passed away. And Betty, his wife, was 22 years old when he was killed, and she never remarried.
Yeah.
So we've become good friends. She's in Austin, Texas, and been down to see her several times. She's been up here. She came up here in 2019, I believe it was, as an honored guest for Operation Bugle Boy.
Uh-huh.
Her and Kimberly, her youngest daughter. And Kimberly was 5 when her daddy was killed, and Betty was busy trying to raise 2 girls, and she didn't talk about it. So Kimberly told me some time back, she said, you know, she said, I think I'm finally beginning to know my daddy.
So yeah.
That made me feel good.
Yeah. As you're telling me that story, I'm thinking you're honoring that promise you made to him, because things like Reese to Heroes, you know, you think about the conversation you had with those students that could have just overlooked those dates and not made the connection. Clearly, you are telling their stories as well as Willie's. And so for what it's worth, I would add, I think you're doing your promise well.
Thank you.
But it also, it makes me ask, so what are some other ways the community can help honor those sacrifices that men and women like Willie made? What are things that we can do better?
Well, again, like I tell the kids, you know, we owe it to those people to be the best we can, whatever we choose to do in life. And not only that, but when something's not right, then get involved and try to fix it. You know, we have a lot of elected and appointed officials. We can't all hold an elected office, but we can hold those that are in those offices accountable to do what's best for the people. I tell the young people when I talk to them, you know, get involved in your community, be a part of your community. Don't just say, well, that's the way it is and ain't nothing I can do about it.
Right.
If we take that attitude, then we're going to lose more and more of our freedoms. So.
Yep. Very true. And I'm going to circle this back to Wreaths for Heroes. And a great way for you to understand why you should get involved is to come look at the sacrifices that these men and women have made. And in our show notes, we're going to add, if you want to volunteer, we'll have the location for where the cemetery is, as well as the warehouse. So that way, we're going to take away any blockages that would prevent you from trying to participate in this ceremony to honor veterans. So, Don, thank you for joining us today. And Don, thank you for your service.
You're welcome. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to say my concerns and my feelings. And I appreciate that opportunity.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.